RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. We'll hear an episode from The Haunting Hour this week, a series that first ran from March of 1945 to May of 1946. It was a syndicated series, so it would air on other stations later on. 52 episodes were produced. The one we'll hear today aired sometime in 1945. It's titled Double Threat.
Within the police precinct, drowned out the bigger noise of the city without. But the office of Inspector Brogan was quiet. He had said all he was going to say, and now he waited for the little man to speak. The little man with the patch on his forehead and the bandage around his arm. The little man who sat opposite him. The puzzled little man with the nervous eyes and the tense, staccato speech.
But I tell you, Inspector, I ain't mixed up with them guys.
We found you with them.
I know, but that was only an accident, my being with them. The whole thing is an accident, even from the beginning.
Then why don't you tell me about it from the beginning?
What's the use of telling? You won't believe me. Nobody would believe me. The whole thing is a case of nobody believing me.
All I know is that we found you with them. If you don't start talking, I'll believe plenty.
Oh, what the heck. I got nothing to lose, I guess. Except my neck.
That's right.
Might as well spill it. Well, you know me. I'm Joe Morris, and I drive this hatch, see? This was a couple of days ago, see? And I was cruising along, minding my own business, when this guy hails me. I pull up to the curb, and he gets in. Where to, mister?
Anywhere, but make it fast.
What's it, buddy?
There's 20 bucks to step on it. That mean anything?
20 bucks? She's all yours, buddy. Now, where do you want to go, friend?
Joe Morris, that's you, isn't it?
That's what it says on the license under my smiling face, friend.
Joe, I'm going to be frank with you. In fact, I got to be. You're the only one that can help me now. I got to get away. I'm being followed.
You mean one of those cars is tailing us?
I'm sure of it.
Don't look that way to me.
You got
to
believe me, Joe. I'm in a terrible spot. You see, I'm on a special mission carrying an important letter that could help all of us. All of humanity. It's got to be delivered.
Slips the oil to me easy, pal.
You don't believe me, huh? Well, take a look at this shoulder. They got close enough to get a bullet hole into me yesterday.
Now, listen, friend. I don't want no part of this, see? I don't want to hear no more. There's a catty coop following me like you said. I'm going to shake him, and when I do, you scram quick, see?
You got to do this for me. Ed, it's 500 bucks. I can't explain now how important it is. When you deliver it where it's addressed, there's $1,000 more waiting for you.
Now, look, mister, I'm making a quick stop at that corner. Get out and get out quick.
I'm leaving the envelope and $500 on the back seat.
Hey, listen.
I'm counting on you to get that envelope delivered.
Now, wait a minute.
And don't cross me, brother.
Hey, come back. You can't do this to me. Come back. Hey. I yelled after this guy, but he just ignored me. Then all of a sudden... These guys in the coupe that was following us were plenty smart. They found us all right. My fare started running back to me. It was time to get moving. I started to shove in the clutch. Funny, my fingers had got kind of stiff. Couldn't seem to work right. He was hit. Again. I could see him out of the corner of my eye. Stagger. Stop. Stagger. Kind of keel over easy and slip down into the sidewalk like he'd never want to get up again.
Ready to get that guy in the cab?
They got him. They got him, sure. But they weren't going to get me.
Hey, stop! Hold it! Hey!
I stepped on it hard. After a while, I got to thinking. $500. I counted them. My wife, Bess, was going to like that. I looked the envelope over. It was addressed to Mr. Kramer. K-R-A-M-E-R. Hotel Crescent. I opened it. The key dropped out. It was little. It wasn't a house key. There was only one piece of paper inside, and the writing on it didn't make no sense. Like a secret code. Yeah, that's what it was. Say... Maybe this dead guy wasn't giving me a spiel after all. Maybe this paper was a plan that some right guy ought to have his hands on. Something that had helped the country. Then I thought, things like that never happened to me. Stop kidding yourself. Be smart. Play it safe. Pocket the 500 and call it quits. Nobody knows anything about it but you and the guy that was bumped. But that 1,500 in one lump would sure look good. Double or nothing. Come on, Joey, where's the old nerve? Double or nothing. Why not?
Yes, sir? Can I do anything for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see Mr. Kramer.
Just a moment, please. I'll see if he's in. Excuse me. Kramer? Kramer?
I guess that's it.
He checked out early this morning. Left no forwarding address.
Oh, I see. Thanks.
Oh, excuse me. Did I hear you ask for Mr. Kramer?
What's that?
Kramer. Are you looking for Kramer?
No. No, I ain't looking for Kramer.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure. So long.
Be seeing you.
What's that?
I said I'd be seeing you.
Thought to myself, what am I getting into? I should have kept out of that hotel. I should have steered clear, sticking my nose where it didn't belong. Burn the letter quick, a voice keeps yelling in my head. Burn the letter... And take up powder before some mug steps on your face. Well, I drove out to the sticks and burned the letter and got rid of that key. And then headed back to the house. Altogether, it must have taken 2 or 3 hours. And when I got there... Brother, when I got there...
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Huh? Talking to me?
Who else? Remember me? Remember the little talk we had at the Crescent Hotel?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Say, how come you know my name and where I live?
Easy. I copied down your license numbers. There's a way of getting a hacky's name and address if you know his license numbers.
Okay. Okay, what's on your mind?
Did you read the paper? About the guy that was shot just after he got out of a cab? Tell you a secret, Joe. I happen to know who this double-crossing jerk was. And a friend of mine tells me that this jerk jumped out of a cab just like yours.
Now, listen, mister, I don't know nothing.
Just call me Smitty, Joe. You know what else? I think this guy who was riding in your cab, I think he gave you a letter.
Listen, fella, you're bucking up the wrong tree.
That letter was addressed to Mr. Kramer. And I'm telling you like a brother that Mr. Kramer don't like his mail held up. In fact, you can hand it over right now.
I ain't got no letter. I tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, Joe, you're kind of dumb for a family man.
What do you mean?
Well, I've been checking around, Joe. I know all about that wife and kid. You know, a family man is supposed to protect his wife and kid so nothing happens to him. You get it? Now, you and I know Mr. Kramer don't live at the hotel anymore, so I'll expect you to have his mail on you the next time I call. I'll be seeing you, Joe. And you know, I keep my word.
Come on, Joe. I think. The gears in my head wouldn't turn over. They were frozen. I knew I shouldn't have bent the envelope. I could have handed it over, and that would have been the end of it. Then I got worried about Bess and Jimmy. Suppose something happened to them. I had to go upstairs right away and see that nothing would happen to Bess and Jimmy.
Hello, Joe. Have a hard day?
Nothing special, Beth. How's Jimmy?
He's sleeping, thank heaven. Finally got him off to bed.
Did he cough much today?
No, not much today. None of that medicine's doing him some good. Even ate his soup today.
Don't you worry none, Beth, honey. We're going to take care of Jimmy. We're going to give him all the sunshine and dry climate he needs. His own man ain't going to let him down. See this?
Joe.
500 good American smackaroos, and it's just the beginning.
Joe, where did you get all that money? Now, you promised me you wouldn't gamble. You said you'd stay away from that bunch of petty crooks.
I haven't fooled around with any of those guys since Jimmy was born, honest.
Well, then how did you make $500?
I can't tell you, Bess.
Well, then I can't take it.
Well, that makes me look good, doesn't it? Here I twist my brains inside out trying to get hold of the coin to take care of Jimmy. And when I get it, you don't want no part of it. Well, somebody gave it to me just like that. So it's mine and you can take it.
No, no.
Well, that's gratitude. There it is on the table. Do you want it? Do what you want with it. I'm going out. I was tired, angry. I didn't care about anything anymore. I just walked to my cab, figuring I'd get in and cruise around a while, trying to relax. Well, I get my hand on the door handle, but I don't have time or the strength to open the door. Believe me, I had a right to freeze.
I've been waiting for you, driver.
Sorry, mister, the cab's taken.
Yeah, I've taken it. Get in.
I don't think you heard me, bud. What's that?
A shiny little 38, Runt. Get in, I get nervous.
Okay. Put it away, will you?
Got the envelope on you?
Huh? What envelope? What are you talking about?
The letter Smitty wanted from you.
Smitty?
Cut the act. I've been trailing the both of you.
Look, I don't know, Smitty. He just stepped into my cab.
That's all right, Runt. I don't like Smitty either. He don't like me, Lefty. You didn't give that mug the letter, did you?
No.
Then hand it over.
I ain't got it.
Is that a fact?
Honest, mister. I don't know what this is all about. Honest, I'm just a cabbie trying to get along.
Put up that meter. Now drive. Drive. I'll tell you where to go. A friend of mine wants to see you. Keep going straight. Keep going.
KSFO is proud to bring you these great American broadcasts, part of the real entertainment we have for you every night. This is Jerry Gordon. Here's more of the best.
Go on in. This is the cabby boss, Joe Morris.
Well, I'm sorry we put you to all this trouble, Mr. Morris.
Who are you?
Kramer is my name. I believe you have a letter from me which you received from a friend who is unfortunately no longer living. Speak up, Mr. Morris.
I don't know anything about it.
I know you have the letter. Now, if you're worried about the money you're supposed to get...
Don't you believe me? I ain't got it.
Was it $1,000? $1,500, then. All right, how much did Smitty offer you? I'll top it.
Nothing. I don't know why you keep picking on me. I ain't got the letter. I burned it.
Take a good look at me. Know who I really am?
Yeah. I saw your picture in the papers yesterday. You're Big Eddie.
You have a good memory, Mr. Morris. I just got out. Did a 5-year stretch, but I've still got a very good memory, too. I never forget a double-crosser. You know, Smitty used to work for me. Now he's trying to cut in on me.
You mean he ain't part of your gang?
That's right. He's not connected with my organization. So if I were you, I wouldn't give him that letter.
But I tell you, I ain't got no letter. I got scared. I burned it.
Very interesting. I understand you have a family, Mr. Morris. Is that right, Lefty?
Yeah, that's right, boss. He just come from where he lived.
Now, we don't like to get violent, Mr. Morris, so I'll expect that letter sometime tomorrow. Lefty will get in touch with you. You can go now. But I'd stay away from that rat Smitty. It won't be safe around him.
Well, there I was. Two gangs wanted one letter that I didn't have. I thought, maybe I ought to spill it to the cops. But it was so mixed up, I figured they wouldn't believe me neither. The cops couldn't believe me. Smitty didn't believe me. Big Ed Kramer didn't believe me. Even my wife, Bess, didn't believe me. I got behind the wheel and cruised around for a while and then headed for my friend Willie's pool room. I can dope a lot of things out when I'm shooting pool.
What's the matter, Joey? You sure are off your pool game today. Like taking candy from a baby. Anything wrong with Jimmy? Anything I can do for you, fella?
No, thanks. This is something I get into myself, and I got to figure it out myself. Figure it out for myself. What good's one letter you don't have when two tough guys want it? Now, if I had two letters... If I had two letters, then... A crazy idea popped into my head. I ran over with it to Willie's office. ALIR4X6-J. That ought to do it. Makes as much sense as that other letter I burnt. I put one copy in each envelope and one small key. Maybe giving each of them a letter would do the trick. Maybe I'd be free and clear again.
You got it?
Yes, Smitty, here it is. Oh, no, thanks. No, I don't want no money.
If you're smart, you'll forget you ever saw me.
Well, Runt, you got it?
Yeah, Lefty, here it is. Oh, no, I don't want nothing.
If you ever see me or Big Ed again, you never laid eyes on it. You get it, Runt?
That was that. If I didn't see them again, I'd know it worked. And that Joey Mullis had pulled himself out of a jam again. If it worked.
Well, Joe, there was a man asking for you today. Said he'd call again.
Hey, Joe, a couple of fellas asking for you. One of them was that same guy.
Joe, some fellas were in the pool room an hour ago asking for you. They...
But it hadn't worked. Why had I ever thought it would? Crazy idea like that. I decided I had to get out of town for a while, lay low. I headed home to tell Beth.
I knew there'd be trouble when you brought all that money home. I knew it, Joe. I knew it.
Okay.
Oh, Joe, why don't you go to the police?
Stop gabbing at me and listen to me. Keep the door locked and don't open it except for Willie and me, understand?
Yes. Why?
Poor Bess, please don't ask questions and don't let Jimmy down in the street by himself, understand?
Don't let Jimmy down in the street by himself? Well, Joe, what is it? What's the matter?
Nothing, only don't. Don't. I get back to the cab. but I never had a chance to turn the key in the ignition. There was an old friend of mine waiting. Smitty.
Slip me a phony letter and think you can get away with it, huh? Let's go.
Smitty, believe me, I couldn't help it. They made me do it.
Yeah.
Honest. I was bringing you the real letter when they stuck a gun in my stomach and took it away. Then they give me that phony one to give to you.
You expect me to fall for that?
Killing me ain't gonna do you no good. I'm just a little guy. Big Ed Kramer's got the letter now.
If you're lying, if you're giving me another wrong steer, you won't know what hit you when I catch up with you.
I watched him walk down the block. It was getting dark, and after a while, I couldn't see him at all. I thought maybe I ought to call the police like Beth said. Maybe I ought to talk it over with her. Tell her everything. I went back into the house and up the stairs until I got to my floor. He was waiting in the shadows, practically in front of my door.
Hello, Mr. Morris.
Kramer.
I thought you'd be coming this way. Mr. Morris, I always take my hat off to a smart guy. Slipping me that fake letter.
What could I do? There was one letter and two guys wanted it.
I quite understand your position. Now, Lefty's outside. We're going to get in my car and drive off. Now, Smitty is up the street waiting for us in his car. And he's going to follow us to a nice, dark spot. And you know what? You're in on this all the way. After this, I think you listen to reason, Mr. Morris.
There was no arguing with this Kramer guy. That gunny you handled scared me plenty. Lefty was waiting, like he said, and we drove off. We only went maybe half a mile to where there was some vacant lots, and Kramer made me get out. Smitty's car had been following us about a couple of blocks down, and we could hear it purring in the distance.
Get in the middle of the road, Morris. In the lights. Fast now, or I'll blow your head off. And wave your hands. That's it, wave them. That'll stop your friend Smitty.
Hey, you. What's the idea?
Let him have it, Lefty.
He's as good as dead right now.
They murdered him as quick as that. The air smelled funny, but most of it was gasoline. At first, I thought the bullets had hit the gas tank, then...
Don't pour it all there, Lefty. Spray some of that gas on the back seat.
We got another can left, boy.
Well, snap it up.
Hey, what's going on? What are you doing?
Very simple, Mr. Morris. I want you to watch Smitty disappear with your own eyes. Then you'll be sure. You won't have anyone to worry about but me. You got it?
I got it. Right under the ribs. First they killed him, and now they were going to burn him. This guy wouldn't stop at nothing. Beth wasn't safe. Jimmy wasn't safe.
Lefty, give us a hand with this stiff. He sure put on weight since he was with me.
I pulled out a pack of smokes, unconscious, and a book of matches. Then it come to me like a flash. Get it over with. Burn them. Burn it all. Burn it all.
Hey, Morris, put that light out. What do you think you're doing? Get away from that gas, you fool. Lefty, stop and get him before he...
And that's all I remember, Inspector, till I woke up here in the police station.
You dead sure about that?
Honest. If you'd only get my wife and ask
if
her...
If it weren't for your wife, you might not be here alive.
How's that?
You see, Morris, your wife notified us after she overheard Kramer hold you up in the hall outside your apartment door. That's what saved your life. We've been looking for you and Kramer. We've had our eye on that big boy since he left jail.
You mean you believe me, Inspector?
Except for one point.
One point?
Yep. And I want this straight goods, Morris. Did you really burn that letter?
Honest, Inspector, I told you. I'm sorry I ever saw that letter.
Okay, I believe you. But too bad. That letter would have told us where Kramer's friend hid all the money his gang stole before we sent him up the last time. Well, we'll run across that safe deposit vault someday, somewhere. You can go now, Morris.
Gee, thanks a million, Inspector, thanks.
Oh, by the way, Morris, I gotta be at 125th Street in 20 minutes. Run me up there, will you?
20 minutes? Gee, I'm sorry, Inspector Brogan, I couldn't make it in 20 minutes. You see, I'm cruising at strictly the legal speed limit from now on.
This is Katherine Hepburn, UNICEF, a future for every child. Right, UNICEF, United Nations, 10017.
That's our Strange Tale for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Haunting Hour, past episodes of Strange Tales, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. There's a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can do so through the website as well. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.